And you've read my title and heard about my title. We're going to talk about a little bit of the difficulty when there's a difference between guidelines and what people are doing in practice. And I do have no relationships to disclose. I'm going to beg your indulgence and spend about a minute and a half telling a story, because I think you may not remember what a lot of presenters present about, but you may remember their story. I always wanted to have 8 kids. I love kids, as my daughter will testify. I love babies, and I always have loved big families. But after 4 kids and several years in practice, I was going along fine and then had some difficulties in personal life that ended up causing me to move from my practice in California to Iowa. My husband was then disabled in a work injury, so now I'm home. I decided to stay home with 4 kids and a disabled spouse. Sometimes in such circumstances, people choose between health care and food. And I made that choice and ended up skipping not one, but two, not two, but 5 of my female exams. Then I was tipped off that the local health department provides those screenings at no cost for people that are low income. And I went and had my first screening in many years. Well, long story short, fast forward about 2 biopsies and a couple of surgeries later, I no longer had a uterus and could not have those 8 kids. So I wanted to share my story in the hopes that you'll become as passionate as I am about the importance of preventive screenings. I think preventive screenings are not only important and essential, but really, in some ways, are mandatory. We need to be recommending screenings. In fact, the Chiropractic Council on Education has required that all chiropractic colleges educate their students about the importance of preventive screenings and, in fact, do the screenings that are within our scope, and that has been since 2007. I know many of the chiropractic colleges, in fact, all of the chiropractic colleges have not yet been evaluated about this CCE wellness competency, but when they do, I think there's going to be some embarrassing moments for chiropractic colleges. We must do better. The U.S. Preventive Services Task Force is kind of the queen mother of preventive services. They are convened to rigorously evaluate scientific literature and then develop guidelines or recommendations for when these screenings should be done. And I don't want to bore you with all the details, but you know they have good qualified people doing those preparing those recommendations and do testify that they have no conflicts of interest. In women's health, there have been some changes, and in men's health, there have been some changes in preventive screenings in the last few years. And in women's health, the breast health recommendations changed from women supposed to get their mammograms starting at age 40 every year to women starting at age 50 having them every 1 to 2, and in some cases every 3 years. So that's a big shift. It's a sea change. In cervical cancer, the Pap tests, the tests that I was talking about, because I did have cancer, those screenings went from every year, the annual exam that we all knew and loved dearly, is now an every 3-year exam. In men's health, it used to be that men should get their prostate checked through a digital rectal exam and a PSA blood test every year after 50 and earlier if they had risk. In many cases, the recommendations were age 40 to get a baseline and then every year after that. But now there's no recommendation for screening related to prostate cancer. Those tests are recommended against, according to the literature. So you can imagine what the firestorm that was created by these new recommendations coming out, which were very conservative, and they did keep in mind the scientific literature. So women were mad, men were mad, health advocacy groups were mad, you know, family practice providers and other providers were all mad, and the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force took some heat over those new guidelines. So just as a comparison, American Cancer Society, which would be a very relevant group related to breast cancer, they were previously talking about having women start at age 40 and to continue to have their mammograms as long as the woman was healthy enough to go get them, and have a clinical breast exam every 3 years and to do breast self-exam. all of these things changed when the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force brought out their guidelines. For men, on the other hand, like I mentioned, it would be 50 years old or 45 if they're at high risk, and 40 if they're even higher risk, and that would be a PSA and a DRE. But those guidelines all changed, and now even American Cancer Society has backed off related to those recommendations. So, and just another organization, American Academy of Family Physicians. So this is creates trouble for clinicians and creates trouble for educators. Since I work in an educational setting, it's difficult for me. What are we to do when we have such a disparity between what we feel maybe would be a good idea and what we've seen in clinical practice and what the advocacy groups recommend, and then what the Queen Mother, the U.S. Preventive Task Force, recommends? So first we have to consider our scope, and in chiropractic, of course, surprisingly, performing both the male and female exams, including the pelvic exam and the prostate exam, is part of our scope in more than half of states in the United States. Now, I'm not telling you that most chiropractors are doing this exam. They choose to send people to other professionals, but that is within our states, within our scope. And so some suggested strategies when there's a big disparity like this is to certainly, as clinicians, maybe use the mnemonic RID, assess risk, provide information based on best evidence, and the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force is the most in-depth research group related to this. Allow patients to decide, and then document your discussion and provide the patient's decision and their choice in the, it's supposed to be EHR, spell check corrected it to her, but you know, it's electronic health records. And then follow up as their clinical risk changes and their clinical scenario changes. And for educators, certainly to provide the range of guidelines and recommendations and then discuss with students the pros and cons of following a more conservative recommendation compared to a more aggressive screening recommendation. And it's a really good opportunity for us as educators for evidence-informed practice discussions, because we really need to talk about the evidence and why these guidelines might have changed. And I thought I'd bring a little bit of levity in there. The mammogram. Thankfully, we don't have that as a recommended screening. I want, you know, my story, sharing my story here was a call to action, and it's my hope that all health professionals will recommend screenings to their patients, and not just offhandedly, but to follow up and make sure if the screening's not been done, that it gets done. And as educators, that we certainly talk to our students about the importance of this. So thank you very, very much.